Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
And there's a lot of angles we could hit, a lot of ways we could start off heading into this great weekend. But I'm going here, and I know this is your wheelhouse, or at least you think it is. I know that you think that he's in trouble. But I'm going to tell you this, Rob Parker. Tom Brady is throwing the football incredibly well as he heads into these playoffs. Can I read you off some numbers? Do I have your permission?
Read them off.
I know this hurts you. You probably squint every time you hear one of these. But here we go. First of all, this is the whole season. Tom Brady led the league with a career high, for him, it was a career high in completions in quote-unquote downfield throws. That's 20-plus air yards that the ball travels. 34 of them. That's a career high at age 43. He threw for 4,600 yards, 33 yards. Most since 2015, 40 touchdowns, most since 2007. And over the last 7 weeks of the season, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers averaged 34.6 points per game, number one in the NFL. There's more. Over his last four games, his completion percentage of 69% is the best he's ever had over the last four games of a season. His passing yards over the last four, 1,333. The best he's ever had over the last four games of a season. His passing TDs, 12. The best he's ever had over the last four games of a season. And his passer rating of 126.9. Yes, you guessed it, Rob Parker. The best he's ever had over the last four games of the season. I'm telling you. Tom Brady is smoking, and I ain't joking. It's going to be a dandy down in New Orleans.
You done?
I'm done.
With that fluff stuff?
Fluff, that's true.
Yeah, that's all fluff.
That's facts. It's fluff. I speak facts. You're about to speak feelings.
No. Facts. I'm going to give you facts. Because let's talk about the teams he's played to compile those numbers. Atlanta twice, the Lions, which was a 7-on-7 game. And
it was 11. It was
7-on-7. And then Washington as a team that was under 500.
Washington's a great defense.
No, but they were under 500. Let me get mine out.
Just letting y'all know. Falsehoods ring. All right, go ahead.
You want to talk ahead?
No, go ahead. Can
I talk?
I'm just asking you.
You just had 10 minutes, and I can't get a word out.
But go ahead. I'm done. All right, go ahead. It's all you.
Okay. Against the also-rants, he's a stat padfer. That's what he turned into. Tom Brady's season was so great that Kyler Murray, who didn't even make the playoffs, was a Pro Bowl quarterback over Tom Brady. That's how fraudulent your numbers are, Chris, because they didn't matter. If he was so good and you just bragged and boast about Tom Brady was the best that he's ever done in his career, but he didn't make the Pro Bowl. They picked a quarterback that didn't even make it to the playoffs. All right? So stop with that. And here's the other thing. He's not playing the also-rans on Sunday. He's playing the New Orleans Saints, who have owned Tom Brady. This year versus the Saints, Tom Brady, 60.8% completions, a whopping 6.1 yards per pass, 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, passer rating 58.8. He's been sacked 6 times. All of his numbers are against the other teams. And his record against teams over 500, 1-5. That's it. So you can go ahead and pump up these inflated Stat Padford numbers and beat your chest and tell you us how great Tom Brady's been playing. But he ain't play like that against the Saints and that defense. So you go ahead. I understand, Chris. You got a pair of Jordans on the line. You're going to lose again.
Two.
No, you got another pair to me.
If I win, you owe
okay?
me two.
No, but it ain't. You don't win this week. If he loses, I win. You don't win till he gets to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So you still got 2 weeks. I win if he loses to the Saints. So you go ahead, make yourself feel better so you can sleep at night. But I'm telling you, it ain't. He hadn't done that against the Saints. And this hogwash, you can't beat a team three times, is all hogwash. This is the playoffs. This is totally different. Nobody's talking about that. That defense held the Bears to basically a field goal and watch and see. And then I don't want to hear on Monday about, what do you expect? He's 43 years old.
That is a legitimate excuse.
I don't even want to know it ain't. I don't want to hear that. You just told me he's playing his best football.
I know, but it's baked in. It is. He can't hurt his legacy. I'm sorry. He could have come out and been the worst quarterback in the NFL this year. It would have meant nothing. Because he's a made man. Just like Washington didn't hurt Michael Jordan, this is just gravy. And right now, that gravy is steaming hot, Rob Parker, and tasty too. It's amazing the double standard that you use. It's amazing. I mean, you want to sit here and criticize Tom Brady's numbers over the last 4 weeks because they didn't play anybody. I'm all about who you played. I want you to play the tough teams. You wasn't saying that when Lamar Jackson was racking up numbers at the end of the season against a bunch of bums. Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Dallas. Oh, you were just raving. He's back, Chris. Everybody buried him. This guy just, wow. He just came back. I mean, my goodness. Everybody buried. Chris, you buried him. Everybody was talking about he wasn't going to make the playoffs. And now look at what he did to Dallas. Look at what he did to Jacksonville. I mean, the double standards must cease, Rob Parker. Tom Brady's throwing the football well. Now, you're right. New Orleans got a great defense. And it's going to be a tough one. I'm just saying, you have to admit, if you watch the games of Tampa Bay, come on. He is spreading the wealth. Mike Evans is eating. Chris Godwin is eating. Antonio Brown, yes, that man, is eating. Scotty Miller's getting a bite here and there. Gronk didn't last week, but Gronk is back. Man. And Fournette's running with a little bit of spirit. I tell you what,
Tom Brady's playing so great, they're the underdogs.
Because they're going to New Orleans. Only concern is that woeful defensive backfield. I mean, that defense is bad. Rob, honestly, I think I could catch a ball or two against them.
We already saw a no-name quarterback, Heineke, come out of nowhere and throw to open people all day.
You're right. It's scary. It scares me. But I saw a nice pair of, like, $35 Jordans in Walgreens the other day. I already picked them up just in case.
No, I hope
size 11, too.
You picked them up in your size. Jason McIntyre, the last time he bet me on Brady, so sick, he wound up buying me two pair.
Does he know that? Because you spilled the beans. You should have kept quiet.
Nah, I wouldn't do that.
Because the beans on national radio.
It's going to show up on his credit card. I'm not going to be like that. I bet him one pair. And if he still hasn't gotten back to me. But if he does, I'll send him the money he sent for the first pair, return those, and keep the fly pair I got in the mail.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob, there's a lot of narratives out there about all these quarterbacks, or at least most of them, probably all of them. You know, you got Jared Goff, who hasn't played well and is, fighting for his starting position.
Fighting for his job, to be honest. He didn't start last week, Chris. Let's just be honest.
Right. If dude don't get hurt.
He started a guy, Wolford, who most people don't even know.
Yeah, that was crazy. We talked about Lamar. Obviously, he got the playoff monkey off of his back. But, you know, he's facing another young guy.
An up-and-comer just like him. That's a drug reference. Did you know that?
Well, yeah, getting the monkey off your back. Yeah. Most people don't know that. Kind of like, what's the other one, the wagon?
But that's a like breaking, like a habit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the monkey off your back. But anyway.
Yeah. You've got Brady, obviously, at 43. I guess to some, can he do it without Belichick? You've got Drew Brees, obviously, going
time
for
is
a
running
second
out.
Super Bowl. Yes, this is it. This is most likely his last year.
That's what all the talk is, that he's ready for NBC.
Yep. Baker Mayfield might, Rob, have the least amount of pressure.
No, they want a playoff game, absolutely. He can go out, sling it around, Chris, do it. Like no one will be disappointed if they lose to the Chiefs. And there's just – and if he wins, he's a hero. I mean, like there's
Believe me, in Cleveland, yes. You know that, too.
Right.
If he wins in Cleveland, he is immortalized.
Yes.
Because they don't have a great football history other than Jim Brown.
Or Ernest Biner.
Right. No. That's negative. And Biner was a good player, but, you know, the
people can't forget that, Chris.
People still talk about Brian Sipe.
Yep.
And the cardiac kids. So – you're right. If Baker wins this, I mean, obviously he's young and you want to see him have success going forward. But this, if he wins this game, people in Cleveland
will
remember
Pittsburgh,
this forever.
Right, but beating Pittsburgh took that pressure off of them. You know what I mean? Like, they won a playoff game. They kicked their butts. They did it in Pittsburgh. No matter what their regular season was and how they needed help to back in. Not back in because they won, but help to get in. Chris, it didn't matter. So I agree with you. Baker probably has the least amount of pressure.
Yep.
Time is running out. You know,
I think the most is on Aaron, Rob. I think the most pressure is on Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to tell you why. And I'm more talking about this weekend. You know, I mean, we'll get, obviously, if they win, there's still pressure on him. They're expected to get to the Super Bowl. If he doesn't, people are going to be disappointed. But I'm talking specifically about this weekend. I think, and we talked with Tory Gurley about all the advantages that Green Bay has going into this. Number one, he had a phenomenal season. Absolutely phenomenal. Is almost certainly going to be the MVP. It's been a great narrative for him this whole year. And so going into the season, the playoffs, you've had the MVP season. You've gotten the number one seed. You have Lambeau as an advantage. And we heard from Tory Gurley how much of an advantage that is. You're going against a Rams team. Now, granted, and this is why I don't think it's a gimme, Rob. The Rams defense is legit. Legit. And Jalen Ramsey is legit. They're going to put him as much as they can on Devontae Adams. I mean, when Adams in the slot, Ramsey won't be on him most likely. But on the outside, Ramsey's going to be on him. And he's been shutting down everybody. So they got a chance. I don't think they can score enough to probably win the game. But if Rodgers can't put up enough points against this team to win, then they're all of that great, the great things he did in the regular season, people are going to go at him hard. And they've lost twice in Lambeau. You know, he's lost. I mean, Tory was telling us about when they were 15-1. Now, that was 2011, but they lost that game. They lost in 2013, a couple years later, to Seattle in Lambeau. So it can happen. I mean, it's not automatic just because you're in Lambeau. And the thing is, Rob, if he loses, and maybe, you know, a lot of times they've lost because of the defense. But I don't think there'll be an excuse unless he just throws for, you know, 400 yards and five touchdowns and it's a shootout and somehow there's no way the Rams can do that. But that's the only way I see potentially him saving face. But people will bring up, even though this isn't the NFC title game, if they lose, people will bring that up, that he's 1-3 in the NFC championship. He's got 7 interceptions, only 6 touchdowns in the NFC Championships games. And people, I believe, will look at it like he's not getting it done at the biggest moments.
I totally disagree that, granted, it's stacked in his favor, and they're supposed to win. So I give you that. They have they're 6.5-point favorites at home. They should win the game. I get it, against the Rams. But Jared Goff is playing for his football career with the Rams. I mean, they're calling him the Jameis Winston of the West because he's been that bad, interceptions, whatnot. He already lost. They started a playoff game where he was good enough to play the final 3 quarters, but they started, I just forgot his name, the other quarterback. John Walford, sorry about that. They just started him in front of a guy who's got a hunt, who they owe $130 million. And I know he's got the bad thumb, Chris, but he played 3 quarters because Walford got hurt, right? So they had to put him in.
Yep.
And my point is, this is like, I'm not saying he has to beat the Packers in Green Bay. Nobody's expecting him to win. If he does, it helps his cause. If he plays well, it's going to help his cause. If he lays an egg and say the defense is pretty good, Chris, right? And they hold Green Bay to 17 points or something like that, 14 points, but they lose 14-0. Do you see what I'm saying? Anybody else would be like, if you hold Green Bay's offense, which averaged almost 40 points or 38 points a game.
There's a possibility of them holding them to 14, 17, something like that.
But that's 20. What I'm saying, and they get no points. Then it'll fall back on Jared Goff. Like, we got a good enough defense. If we had a decent quarterback, we could have won that game. So
here's
I think there's a lot of pressure on him to play well. Now, I'm not saying it's like make or break. If he doesn't win in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers, going to be the MVP, he's got to be out of the league or he can't play for the Rams anymore. I'm not to that extreme. I just think he needs to play better than he did last week and better than he has the second half of the season.
He does, and there is some pressure on him. I mean, there's about as much pressure on him as there could be on a young guy who's not doesn't need to win the game. You know, for all the things you mentioned.
Right.
The thing is, where are the Rams going without him? I mean, it's similar to Carson Wentz. Now, granted, there's a Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, but I'm talking about as far as the contract, you know, you still got that big albatross. So I don't know that he's going anywhere. And here's the other thing, Rob. Even if he does play well, you could say the same thing about Rodgers in this case. But even if he does play well, what do you think? I'm going to ask you, if he plays well and they win, is he's good now? Like, he could go out the next weekend in a championship game for the conference and be bad, and you think people will let it go, let it slide?
Well, it can't be awful, but if he plays okay, it's just like, just to win that game because he played so poorly last week, I think that, and he did, they didn't want to start him. I mean, they didn't want to start him. So most guys, Chris, when it's your quarterback, and even if he's a little banged up, right? You want your guy to go out there.
Well, they know. I mean, he ain't. Yeah, he's
no, right. But that's what I'm saying.
That title is their guy.
He's but not dear life. Because they started a guy who basically has been there long
Nobody
enough to
even
eat a
knew about.
Cup of coffee and a sweet roll. That's how long he's been with the Rams. So right. Here's the other part. So I get that. So I think Jared Goff has something. A lot of guys do, but I think I don't look at it as. Sure, the Packers have to win the game, right? It's set up for them to win.
Right.
And it would be a big loss. There's no doubt about it if they lost the game. It would be a huge upset in Lambeau against a team with a bum thumb quarterback who hadn't played well. I mean, that would be the narrative. But if they come out and do what they need to do and just play the game, I think they'll win. They don't have to be a blowout.
I get that, but I'm just saying, if Rodgers loses, I just think it's worse on him. You know, it is going to be such a
letdown.
Yeah,
but the ramifications are bigger on Jared Goff. That's what I'm saying.
Well, obviously Rodgers isn't getting benched, you know, but when you talk about legacy, now he'll have some years left to redeem it, no doubt about it. But this would be such a downer for them that I really think he's the guy with the most pressure. And I'm going to give you this, Rob. I don't think he even necessarily has to play all that well. They just need to win. And then we'll see what he does in the NFC title game. There'll be pressure there too. But they just need to win. If he doesn't play his best game and they still win, fine.
Do you remember last year? Do you remember the game they beat Seattle?
Yep.
In their playoff game. And if you remember, I think he was 5 for 7 on third downs. Remember, that was really what sealed the game.
Right.
Was they had those late where if they didn't make it, they were going to give the ball back to Seattle. I think they won that game 28-24, but he was big on the third downs. I don't think his numbers were that crazy, Chris, or whatever, but they won the game, and he kept the chains moving and the clocks moving, and, you know, we know it's the playoffs. So it's not as easy as everybody thinks it is, and I say 7 of the 8 teams belong there, and they're there for a reason. The Rams are there because they have a good defense, but that's also
seven
a team.
7 of the 8?
Yeah, because I just...
Who doesn't belong there?
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure the Bears belonged in the playoffs. I'm not positive.
Oh, 7 of the 8.
Of the 8, you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
I was wondering, these 8 teams.
No. Belong. I mean, yeah. I'm talking about like the Bears and
right, okay.
But if you remember, this is a Rams team that lost to the Jets at home. This is, you know, you're talking about the defense
and
all that.
Like, they're not unbeatable.
Like, let's not
and
act
then
like.
And then Aaron Donald's got the rib injury.
Right.
So and we'll he's see not what kind of a factor that
and
is.
And he's not 100%. If he's not 100% and they can't get pressure to Aaron Rodgers, Chris, they'll be able to move the ball and they'll be able to do what he does. So that'll be interesting.
But they got isn't Bakhtiari out? David Bakhtiari, Rob G?
Yeah.
Offensive tackle out, one of the best, maybe the best in the league. So that's a downer. When you got to protect your quarterback.
Yeah, but their best player is not 100% either. I think that helps to neutralize that. If Aaron Donald, Chris, was 100% even Jared Goff was 100%.
That's all why I'm saying. I think the Packers are going to win a close game. I'm taking the Rams and the points. I think the Packers win a close game.
Let's do double or nothing on wings.
I got my wings. I want my wings. No bet. But everything you just said is adding to my point that Aaron Rodgers better deliver. Better win. Let's put it that way. He can have a bad game, but he better win. Because it is going to rain down on him something awful. If he doesn't. All right, 877-99 on Fox.
That's what you're hoping for. That's what it sounds like in your voice.
No, I'm just saying.
You're hoping
because
it's not going to work with your narrative. If Aaron
Rodgers.
What
narrative?
Your narrative about, you kept saying, listen to the intro. Aaron Rodgers didn't have a Pro Bowl season. That's all you've been saying.
He didn't. Last year.
But I'm just saying, this is the narrative you've had.
What narrative?
And this year,
I'm not Bucky Brooks, Rob.
This year, you couldn't say that because Aaron.
Because he had a great year, yes.
Okay, right.
I mean, I don't have a narrative. I call it like I see it. And I see
you
it like he better
narrative.
Win. He better win.
Better
That's
win
all I'm
or
saying.
What? Are they going to throw him off the planet, Chris? What does that mean?
It's all,
he
Rob,
better
this
win.
Is sports.
What
this
is he going to say?
Are you really going there?
The MVP season doesn't matter. The MVP season doesn't matter.
Ridiculous?
Did they do that to Mahomes when he lost the AFC championship?
They're going to throw him off the cliff.
If he loses, they're going to throw him off the cliff?
Come on, Rob, please. You that sensitive about Aaron Rodgers that you're getting ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Yeah, they're going to throw Aaron Rodgers off the cliff. I mean, we might as well not talk about this stuff if that's where you're going. Of course it's going to be fine. The dude's a multi-millionaire beyond his wildest dreams. He's a Hall of Famer. He's an all-time great. He'll be fine. So will Lamar. So will Jared Goff. He got a $130 million contract. Guess what? Even if he gets benched, he'll be fine, Rob. They're not throwing him off the cliff.
And Tom Brady's got to win, too. Tom Brady finally has to beat the Saints. Otherwise,
yeah,
the whole season was a failure.
He's only got six Super Bowls
to
fall back on.
It was a waste of time, right? He has to win, too.
He has to win, too. You're that sensitive about Aaron Rodgers.
It ain't about Aaron Rodgers, Chris.
This is unbelievable.
It ain't about Aaron Rodgers.
It is, because
it's the most ridiculous thing.
Because
I don't care. I don't care who wins.
You do care.
I do not care. That's a narrative. You bring them up every single time we talk about any quarterback. That's some problem you have.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Some great games. Every game is going to be exciting. Every game has a storyline or two or three that you're really looking forward to seeing answered. So,
Which game do you really want to see? Out of the four.
Obviously, Tampa, you know, since you and I have that bet,
right?
Ryan,
have a big bet, right.
So that one's huge.
Say if
Kansas City.
Just,
you know, I love Kansas City's the most exciting team. Okay, let me put – so we got Kansas City, then we got the Ravens game.
Ravens-Bills, see,
Green
that's the
Bay
one
game.
For me.
God.
Ravens-Bills is the – if I had to pick one game.
So pick it this way. Okay. Maybe this is still your answer. What storyline of which game is most, you know, just compelling to you, and that's why you're going to want to watch it?
It's the game that is the, I think it's the, has the smallest point spread, 2.5, Chris,
because
those two teams, like Kansas City and Cleveland, 10 points. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even Green Bay and the Rams is a 7-point spread. And the other game is another one. Tampa Bay and New Orleans, just 3 points. But it's something about these two young quarterbacks. You know, the Bills have had this great year. It seems like the Ravens and Lamar are on a mission. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I'm just looking at that to see, was that just one game and then they go back to where they were, Chris? Do they take another step and get to the AFC Championship game, like where they were supposed to go, right, this year, after last year? This is where they were supposed to take the next step. So I want to see, do they get there? They fought off the frustrations of the regular season. They got it together, and they're right where we thought they would be, which is in the AFC Championship. So that's the game for me.
That's fair. And that probably is looking like the most, like on paper, you would think that's going to be the most competitive game.
Absolutely.
So I give you all of that. I agree with you on all of that. But if of the four games, if I had to pick one that just is the most intriguing to me, I would say Tampa Bay, New Orleans. Because I like legendary greatness. You know, it's almost like if LeBron is in the finals against Brooklyn, can they beat, you know what I mean? Can he win his fifth? Can he get one closer to Jordan? And obviously you got Brady in that situation. And like you said, they've been blown out the last game, beaten handily in the first game. Have they solved that? So that one for me, but I hear you. I mean, look, the bottom line, we're fortunate every game. Only one that might not be good is Kansas City, Cleveland. You know, if the Chiefs just come out clicking.
Right.
But they're so much fun to watch that even if they're, you know, just destroying Cleveland, it'll be exciting. So you can't lose this weekend. And we will get back more into the playoff talk with our man Lamar Mitchell, MGM Grand Race and Sportsbook Director at the bottom
of
this hour.
The red carpet for me for my birthday. That's all I'm going to say.
You rubbing it in my face, man.
Seriously, you need to get out there. I know, Chris.
I thought we were going. I was set like in the fall, and my wife was like, are you crazy?
Right. She's like, I ain't getting on no plane.
Right, exactly. So, but we're going to stick with the NFL, Rob. But it is looking like, so we got the Lions. Well, let's put it this way. Eric Bieniemy has interviewed for the Lions, the Falcons, the Jaguars, the Jets, the Texans, and the Chargers. Lions, I guess he's got a shot, right? But the Falcons just hired Arthur Smith.
Yeah, they say that Dan Campbell is going to be the Lions.
He's looking like the guy.
That's all the reports, Chris, that it looks like it's him.
you got obviously Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, and the Jets just hired Robert Saleh. And so the Texans, Chargers, and maybe the Lions is still kind of open. But it is looking like, and there was a report a few days ago, that Eric Bieniemy would likely be shut out. You know, there were different reasons given that, you know, the team is going to go too deep in the playoffs.
Which is nonsense, because some of these other guys are getting jobs, Chris. I mean, I'm not buying that.
If you really want a guy, you wait. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
How about all the Patriots guys who came off of Bill Belichick's staff? Absolutely. What were they sitting around doing nothing? They were going to Super Bowls. I don't buy that.
Absolutely. And the other one I don't buy too, Rob, and look, well, it's out there that Bieniemy doesn't interview well. Now, even last year there was talk, he just wasn't impressive in the interviews. And that's come up again. And some of the, you know, plugged in people, Tony Dungy and Mike Freeman, Rob, we both know Mike. He's been on the show. Great reporter, columnist for USA Today.
Yeah.
Yes, he's very plugged in. And I'll read what he wrote, and then I'll read the quote in his story from Tony Dungy. And obviously these guys are more inside than we are, so you got to take this seriously,
We buy into Mike Freeman and the people he's talking to.
So Mike says this: there's no need to repeat the origin of the Bieniemy rumor, but it became a thing recently. Last year there were people in the NFL quietly spreading the same rumor about Bieniemy that he doesn't interview well. I was specifically told by several team executives that this narrative was circulating. The rumor is, by all accounts, false. Black coaches say privately that if an owner or general manager never wanted to hire a black coach in the first place, they will say the coach interviewed poorly. It's not that white candidates aren't accused of having poor interviews. It's that black ones face this narrative so much it's become almost a running joke with black coaches. Now, here's what Tony Dungy says, Rob. What bothers me is you rarely hear about young white candidates having bad interviews. Whenever I hear about poor interviews, it almost always is about black candidates. My antenna goes up when I hear about black candidates not interviewing well. It reminds me of my own experience in the past. And, Rob, we know
this. It took him forever.
Tony Dungy is not the type of guy that's just going to, you know, make a hot remark about race.
Right.
He's not just going to, you know, throw out racism if he doesn't really feel like it's there.
And he's measured. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I can't. It's going to be bad for the NFL if he does get shut out, because, Chris, and I don't know, both of us, we're not in the interview.
Exactly.
It's possible.
Right? That
it's
he possible. Doesn't interview.
But his resume, he has a hell of a resume, Chris.
Yes.
So he might not, maybe everybody's not glib. Everybody's not born, you know what I mean, Chris?
Yeah.
Everybody can't have a radio show. You know what? They might know the hell out of football, basketball, and baseball.
Well, we
but
know
they can't
that, right.
But they can't articulate it to other people, right? Yep. We know it.
Or they don't have that presence or whatever.
Right. Everybody can't do it, so we get that. But the resume is impeccable. The resume is there. And guys with lesser, Chris, stats and you know, like the Cliff Kingsbury thing still shakes me from the standpoint, Chris.
Absolutely.
He got fired at Texas Tech. He didn't win a national championship.
Lower level, you failed.
Right. And he was ushered in as like, well, you know, he had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll with McVay, so we got to definitely hire him. Anybody who's connected with McVay, you got to go out and get a young guy with blonde hair, and he's going to be the future. That's what they started doing. And anybody connected with McVay kept getting jobs. And it's wrong. I just don't understand how we can go through another coaching cycle and Eric Bieniemy. Now, it's not over. There's still a couple jobs. I think the Lions job is out. There's really only two jobs because, Chris, he didn't interview with Philadelphia unless they bring him in late. But there's really only two jobs left for him.
Right.
The Chargers.
Well, let me say this.
And the Texans. Those are the two jobs.
And the Texans just feels sullied to me.
No, I'm
like,
not
if he got that,
no. If he gets it, I'm fine with it. It doesn't matter.
I'm fine with the process. But the fact that, because I've said on the show, Rob, when as soon as they made the coaching change, they need to hire Eric Bieniemy. And I threw in the caveat, you got to do your due diligence, of course.
You got to bring in other
people.
When I look
at Deshaun Watson's ability and I look at Pat Mahomes and what Bieniemy's done with him, I mean, what are you waiting for? And they didn't even want to interview him, Rob, until it became a story with Deshaun Watson complaining about the process. And there were reports. Now, he later denied them, but there were reports, some speculation at least, that he was upset. That because here's the deal, Rob. The two leading candidates on their search committee were people of color. One African-American and another person of color. And so, there was speculation that, well, Deshaun's upset. He wanted to go to Miami where they happen to have a black GM and a black head coach. So there was talk about, maybe that's why he's so upset. And then Houston decides, we're going to bring in Eric Bieniemy. So if he gets offered the job, there's only 32 of them. Obviously, it's hard to get one. And you got Deshaun Watson. You got stuff to work with. You got to take it. But it just feels dirty. Because I've said, Rob, I don't want him going in there and everybody thinking Deshaun hired him. I don't think that's the right, you know what I mean?
I get that, but I'm just saying, if he gets it, man, take the opportunity.
Right, he's got to do it.
And you got to take the opportunity and roll with it. It doesn't matter when you come in. Everybody, Chris, even in the interview process, is not going to be the first guy that comes in. This, you know what I mean? Like it.
But you want the front office, and we've seen this before, Rob, where they're not on the same page with the coach. And you can do, you know what I mean? They can do things to undermine him. It happens a lot.
No.
And so you hope that wouldn't happen. Yeah.
Right. That's why it's important to make sure that, everybody's on the same page. Because the worst situation you want to get into, Chris, is you get hired, but the GM, the guy upstairs, doesn't really want you. I mean, that's not a best case scenario.
No, because you need their support. I'm gonna throw out a few names, Rob, of other black coaches that I want to get your view on it. But I'm like, some of these guys' names are out there, but this one isn't. For his name not to be being mentioned, Rob, is ridiculous. Jim Caldwell.
He never should have gotten fired in Detroit.
Nope. He's coached 7 years in the league as a head coach, 4 times made the playoffs, and here's what's amazing. 2 out of 4 years, he made it in Detroit.
Right.
Which is saying something.
You know.
Yes. So he's not even being mentioned?
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
His name hadn't even come up.
And remember, when he took over in Indianapolis, they went 14-0, right?
Yep.
And he went, and the other one, Chris, is when he went to Baltimore. You remember they fired their offensive coordinator during the season and brought him in. And what happened? The Baltimore won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Caldwell was attached to that team. Do you remember that?
Yep. So that's one that I don't like, that his name's not being mentioned. Then you got these guys who are out. Well, here's another one that you didn't hear much about. How about Marvin Lewis, Rob?
I'm going to pass on Marvin Lewis for this reason, Chris. And I'm not saying that he can't get
that he shouldn't be getting interviews?
I'm not saying that. I did not say that. I think that's a hard sell when you're 0-7 in the postseason. There was a lot of problems in Cincinnati when he was there, a lot of player issues. I'm calling it like I see it.
Right.
He wouldn't be at the top of my list.
I'm not saying the top of anybody's list.
I'm not saying he can't get interviewed, Chris. That's not what I said.
And he's done better than a lot of guys who are still considered candidate. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I agree. But he does have some negatives. Can you admit that?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you don't. I do think, though, and I think one of the points you're making, hard sell. How do I get my fan base excited about it?
Because let me give you the example. The Lions have won one playoff game since 1957. You can't hire Marvin Lewis, Chris. He's 0-7 in the playoffs. Like that. That's just would be like, how could you hire a guy who's never won a playoff game for a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game?
If you want to say Detroit,
I'm just saying, right?
I could sell it too. Like Cincinnati, you know, they don't have the resources necessarily that some of the other places have. Look at them since he left. They made it 7 straight years. He turned them around immediately, and I never got him over the hump.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But let's see if there's a Bill O'Brien we can say the same thing about, right? Will he get a shot down the road?
No, you know how it works.
And here's the interesting, Rob, quickly, because we got a break. Robert Saleh, now there's some confusion over this, because he's Lebanese. And
the first Lebanese coach, right? Head coach in
the NFL. Yes, and congratulations. Yes, Arab-American, Lebanese. And I heard today on the radio they called him the 4th coach of color in the league right now. You got Mike Tomlin, of course, Brian Flores, Ron Rivera, and now Robert Saleh, which I think was a great hire. But on the U.S. Census, Lebanese is considered white.
Is that right?
I don't agree with all they got because they got Egyptian under there and all that.
Egyptian is white too? I don't think
Middle Eastern people are really like white, but in the U.S. Census, it does say in the 2018 census, it had white and then Lebanese was one of the things they mentioned under white. And you know, all the Lebanese people I've known have considered themselves white.
Really?
And so it's a question, is he really a coach of color or what? You know, so, but it's 2 head coaches right now, African-Americans in a 32-team league that is 70% black. I don't like it. So 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. I also could have mentioned Byron Leftwich, Raheem Morris, and Gerard Mayo. Now, he's supposedly a candidate in Philly, so we'll see what happens there.
And Romeo Crennel didn't get any more after he took over. I noted that Houston didn't finish that strong.
Yeah. I mean, they got better, but, you know.
Not good enough.